in different types of inquiries around and different types of new products that are coming out, most of them around social security numbers and credit card numbers and making sure that inadvertent leaks don't come out of businesses. And I think the technology that one can buy either from a service provider or a vendor is pretty good at dealing with inadvertent stuff. Now I think the next step is to do a better job of dealing with intentional and malicious. So that, I think, you know, over the last year, that's clearly something that's been on a lot of people's minds and I think has been important.
And I know a lot of agencies have been focused on the WikiLeaks situation and how do you protect your data. Is that a technology issue or did they just have a bad apple and there's almost no way you can deal with that?
Well, the fundamental issue here is botnets, right? I mean, that's the way most of these attacks occur. And we've known for the last couple of years that the intensity of botnets as an attack vector for anyone. You know, it can be three youngsters in a basement or it could be state-sponsored group. Botnets are an extremely effective way to target an organization, a government agency, or even an individual. But I think that's really been the observation amongst the security community that botnets are becoming increasingly difficult to handle, and it's a huge area of attention for my own research and development group.
And one of the other really big stories, and it's sometimes easy to forget because it was at the beginning of the year, is the hacks on Google and Google and a bunch of other organizations. Are we finding ways that we can protect our systems more effectively?
Well, what the service providers are doing is learning ways. You know, you can think of it as almost like adjusting the plumbing, learning ways in the infrastructure to divert attacks that are aimed at some target away from that target. That's been the strategy that we've used now for a few years, and it works to a degree. You know, you can think of it as a big car wash in the network. You see a bunch of sort of dirty packets aimed somewhere. You steer them through the car wash, and it'd be nice if all of them came out clean. What generally is the case is that most of them come out clean, some come out dirty. So you need to improve the algorithms. But that's the best practice today. And as you would imagine, with more and more and more botnets, the car washes get a little bit busy.
Yeah.
So we're making investments to try to build out more infrastructure, to make the pipes into and out of that infrastructure, to have as much capacity as possible, and to constantly improve the algorithms because the adversaries are getting extremely clever in the way they attack.
We're talking to Edward Amoroso. He is AT&T's chief security officer, and he's author of the new book. It's called Cyber Attacks, Protecting National Infrastructure. Give me a little bit of a sense as to, I mean, you're the chief security officer. What does a chief security officer at AT&T, what kinds of things do you focus on?
Well, we protect our infrastructure, protect our systems and networks and customers from any type of cybersecurity issue that could affect their business. So at the low end, we worry about making sure that viruses and worms don't get into equipment and cause outages or cause problems. At the upper end, we're fighting, in some sense, against real-time probes and other types of attacks that may be aimed at our customers. So it's a pretty busy business and one that I both enjoy and also swallow a lot of Tums as a result.
Yeah, and it's a very challenging job these days because the environment changes so quickly. And I know even in this past year, mobile has become such a platform,
right.
And it can be really challenging to secure those mobile devices.
It's true. You know, the mobile devices really look like little computers now, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
And I think the main reason we don't see as much kind of malicious activity on our smartphones is because it's so remarkably easy for attackers to use our PCs at home. That's good news, bad news, right? You would imagine that as we continue to make improvements in the way we can protect, say, DSL or cable customers, you know, residential consumers on the internet from attack, that you probably will see an increase in the amount of malware that you'll see on mobile devices and smartphones.
And the ubiquity of these devices, they're
right.
just every place.
It's true. It's true. I think in China, we saw the first kind of wide-scale kind of bot that botnet using their mobiles. I think it hit a million or so members. So that's the tip of the iceberg. We're likely to see more.
In the government space, there's been more focus in the past year on what's called continuous monitoring, not just meeting a set audit of your security plan, mm-hmm. but being able to do it at any point in time, almost real time, knowing what you're doing well and what you're not doing well. Are you seeing that outside of the government space? Is that true in the private sector as well?
Well, first of all, it's a good idea, right? I mean, to be worried in real time about your systems and your networks and your software makes a heck of a lot more sense than, you know, worrying about, say, a FISMA score or something from a certifier or accreditor where you get the stamp on your system and everybody high fives and then you're presumably good to go for a few months. That's not a reasonable model. So I like the idea of continuous monitoring. Actually, to be honest with you, I think in the outside the federal government, there probably has been more emphasis on that in the past years than we see in government. Most big banks keep, you know, live real-time security operations centers that do that type of continuous monitoring. So in some sense, the civilian agencies, I think, are catching up, whereas, you know, military and defense have always done a really good job in that area. I think the DOD in particular has had their heads on straight about this for a long time. So it's a good trend.
I was reading parts of your book last night, Cyber Attacks Protecting National Infrastructure, and you go into a lot talking about technical, architectural management solutions to actually focusing on national infrastructure. Talk a little bit about what those are, and this is, there are some basic steps that you need to keep in mind.
Well, one of the things that is a little different from what most chief information officers would be used to is that in the security business, a little bit of diversity is a good thing. That's something that would be almost heresy to have stated in the last few years, because the purpose of almost any IT organization in government or industry is to reduce costs and to reduce complexity and to promote commonality and interoperability, and everybody has the same thing on their desktop, all the software is the same, it reduces your training costs, it makes it easy for people to move from one job responsibility or role to another, it's all the same. While that is absolutely a primary driver of cost reduction, it also makes attacking much easier, right? I mean, when you're building a piece of malware and you want it to hop around from one thing to the next, a non-diverse ecosystem is probably the first thing that you look for in sizing up an attack target. So we've been out preaching that taking some time architecturally to selectively and intelligently introduce some measure of diversity into the infrastructure is a pretty good idea.
And is there some lesson? I mean, it seems like one of the big developments in the past year is that the cybersecurity is, you no longer have to say, hey, this really matters. People get that now. It's they understand that this is important, and that if you don't do it, you can get in really bad things can happen.
You know, I live up in New Jersey, and I burn a lot of miles on the Amtrak Acela back and forth. About 10 or 12 years ago, I can remember coming back from Washington kind of thinking, maybe I'd been talking to some staffers and some congressmen or something. I'd come back kind of scratching my head thinking, did anybody even understand what I was talking about? I don't get that feeling anymore. Even when I'm talking to, very prominent legislators, they seem to get it. And it may be partly generational, right? We have more and more people who've just grown up in and around technology using PCs and networks and operating systems, where 10 or 15 years ago you had people who probably grew up largely using pencil and paper. So as that generational shift continues, we should expect to see individuals in and around the Beltway to become even more savvy in this area. So that's good, and it's also bad, because when you talk security, cybersecurity, there's both an offensive and defensive component there.
Right.
You root for the defense. You hope the offense doesn't get too far ahead.